This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, who's the top Republican on the Joint Economic Committee, and he's a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. We want to get his thoughts on the changing complexion on Capitol Hill following the Republican win in Massachusetts on Tuesday night, especially as it relates to health care reform. We also want to get his insights on the president's new policy suggestions for a banking reform. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us, as always.
Greg, thanks for having me again.
Well, one of the things we know, of course, is that the Democrats, once Scott Brown is sworn in, will not have 60 votes to pass on a party-line vote to their brand of health care reform. And so now there are all these different ideas of what the Democrats may pursue. We just heard today that Nancy Pelosi doesn't think the votes are there to pass the Senate version of the bill. So what do you expect?
Well, it's interesting. Anyone who wonders about the power of one need only look at that Massachusetts election to know it has a huge impact in Congress. You know, what's interesting is this is sort of a defining moment for the White House and Democrats. Question is, will they listen to what the voters in Massachusetts and Virginia and New Jersey in polls across country say, which is we want reform, just not this reform, or are they going to ignore them and just push ahead? It looks like they're going to ignore them and push ahead. They've already run the numbers trying to figure out if they could force through the Senate bill. Now they've turned to reconciliation, which is a rarely used sort of a backdoor to get around the 60-vote margin in the Senate. But what they ought to do is just step back and say, wait, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's sit down with Republicans out in the open this time, and let's come up with those key elements that all of us can support, take that first step toward reform. I don't see them doing that, unfortunately.
Congressman, for the sake of our listeners who aren't real familiar with reconciliation, it basically means the bill has to focus primarily on taxes and spending and so forth. What could they include in that? What would they have to leave out?
They would, because it is a backdoor, and it's not a very big backdoor, they could not fit much of their health care reform through that. Only that related to taxes or to the budget itself. So they could go with many of the tax increases that are in the health care bill. They could do perhaps a small part of insurance issues, Medicare cuts, but those, again, are all the most unpopular parts of this bill. And at the end of the day, you wouldn't have anything that lowered health care costs. So their options, again, they keep running into a brick wall because the public doesn't want this bill. And I think the sooner they understand that, the better for all of us.
What about mandates? Could they squeeze that in under reconciliation?
It would be difficult, and that would be a judgment call of the parliamentarian who uses arcane precedences that few know. And so that would take, again, a lot of backroom discussions at a time when I think most people want, you know, it out in the open, come up with some basic improvements. Let's do some good things.
Congressman, some of the Democrats have said they've gotten the message. They're trying to bite off too much. They want to go in a much smaller route to take on some of the things that they believe both parties agree on. The issue that always comes up is coverage for those with pre-existing conditions can't be dropped when your health encounters a crisis and that sort of thing. Do you see common ground between the parties on some very basic elements?
Absolutely. I think the Republican plan that we offered and, again, could not get a vote on, put money into state insurance pools to make sure that people with pre-existing injuries couldn't be dropped and could get affordable coverage. We want people to be able to buy across state lines and take that health care plan with them, ending junk lawsuits to drive up the price of medicine, preventive illnesses, working through preventive medicine. There is an awful lot, I think, of common ground that that we could agree on if they will step back and sit down.
Congressman, you mentioned that just the power of one in the Scott Brown win on Tuesday night changes a whole lot. Obviously, the numbers game in the Senate, for that reason, it was a huge, huge win. How big of a fact is that it happened in Massachusetts?
I think it is more powerful because it happened there. Who would have ever thought that in Senator Ted Kennedy's, the seat that he's held so long in Massachusetts, so liberal, and which has its a national, in effect, their own national health care plan there, I don't think anyone would have dreamed of that victory for Scott Brown, but it tells you the mood of the entire country. And it's not just health care. It's cap and trade and those high energy costs. It's all the spending, which has frightened families. It's all the new regulation that keeps businesses from hiring. I don't think health care was the lead issue there, but if the Democrats are listening, they'll understand the public's very upset about a range of issues.
Congressman, it seemed like last week the president tried to focus in away from health care and in on Wall Street as a possible way of helping Martha Coakley win, because she certainly picked up on that message. In the end, obviously, it didn't work for her. But last week, the president talked about imposing a fee on many of the Wall Street firms that received a taxpayer bailout money, even though that they've paid back that money with interest. And now today, he's talking about imposing rules, making sure that the banks, in his words, don't go down the same road they went down prior to the collapse in 2008. What do you make of that reform, both in terms of policy and the politics of it?
Well, from the politics of it, clearly he wants to change the subject. He wants to change it away from health care, away from the economy, away from the spending, and pick out some villains that he hopes the American public will join him in pointing fingers at. I don't think it'll work. And my thought is, one, you know, taxpayers ought to get back every dollar of the TARP bailout, every dollar that was put in it, and not just from the banks, which have repaid most of theirs, but the auto companies, AIG, Fannie and Freddie, the whole deal, everyone should pay that back. But secondly, a basic question I think for most people is, if you tax these banks more, you know, will that lower your credit card rate? Will it mean you'll get a loan at home? Will it create a single job in our communities? And the answer is none of the above.
And you mentioned, sir, just a minute ago, some of the firms that the president hasn't apparently targeted, and particularly the mortgage giants there, Fannie and Freddie, as well as AIG and the auto companies. Why do you think he's not putting them on the chopping block along with the banks?
You know, I think it's all picking friends and enemies. And they think, you know, the banks are the enemy of the public, just like energy companies are, maybe big pharmaceuticals, just sort of whoever the villain of the day is. I think that's what determines it. Yet, what's, I think, very frustrating is to hear him rail about the bonuses on Wall Street, which to me seem excessive in a big way. But on Christmas Eve, they waived the rules and allowed Fannie and Freddie executives to get $6 million of bonuses, plus a blank check from the American taxpayers. We'll cover all of those losses over the next 3 years, which could be $500 billion. So it seems to me, you know, there's no policy really behind all this. It's more politics.
So much happening on so many fronts. Congressman, as always, a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, sir. Texas Congressman Kevin Brady represents the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District, top House Republican on the Joint Economic Committee, also a member of the House Ways and Means Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.